Hello, this is Dave with the News Gazette for Sunday, November 16th, 2025. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with the article headline, Stumbling Blocks. This is from the Strides Shelter. Township officials hearing complaints from downtown stakeholders, employees who were shorted by outgoing supervisors' payroll mistakes. This is by Jana Wersima. Champaign. Payroll errors made by outgoing City of Champaign Township Supervisor Kyle Patterson resulted in several employees at the Strides Homeless Shelter receiving less than they were owed. A preliminary review showed that the issue affected about 13 employees and totals around $3,200, Champaign Finance Director Kay Neese wrote in the email to Patterson, which was obtained by the News Gazette through a Freedom of Information Act request. It is unacceptable that, due to a massive mistake on our township supervisor's part, we are now scrambling to make ends meet, one staffer wrote in an email to shelter and township leaders. Some of us already work other jobs, drive for rideshare services, or even sell our blood plasma as it is. Results from the News Gazette's Freedom of Information Act inquiry came back November 5th, one day after the embattled Patterson announced his resignation, effective November 18th due to ongoing health issues. Patterson previously extended the response deadline to the October 23rd FOAI request by 5 business days, stating that the original deadline would be unduly burdensome for the township. Additionally, he said that more time was needed to examine records for potential exemptions to disclosure. Charlene Murray, interim executive director of Strides, told the News Gazette that the affected payroll was due October 24, and staff received the rest of the funds owed about October 27th or 28th, with help from the city's finance department. Payroll is not easy the way that we have been doing it, unfortunately, she said, adding that the absence of shelter program director Carla Zarnsey led to some difficulties, as she is the only one who has done payroll since the very beginning, when we first opened. Can you step down? Patterson did not respond to a request for comment about the payroll situation, which unfolded a few weeks ago. On the evening of October 20th, Murray sent an email to Patterson and Stride staff acknowledging that she had been notified about payroll discrepancies. She apologized for the concern and stress this has caused some of you, and added that leadership would work to address the issue. Patterson emailed staff with an apology on the morning of October 21st. Quote, I covered payroll for the first time last week and I made some errors, he said. I am very sorry for this mistake and I understand that this may have a serious impact on your financials. We have been communicating with city payroll on this issue and they will not run a second payroll for us. Instead, if you were short hours this pay period, there will be additional pay on your next paycheck in 2 weeks to make up the difference, unquote. Several staff members wrote back to express their frustration and told Patterson that the shortfall would affect their ability to pay for basic necessities such as rent. I understand about making mistakes, but we can't tell our landlord that our boss forgot to pay us, one worker wrote. Murray informed township board members of the situation on the evening of October 21. Township leaders, including Champaign Mayor Deb Finan, who is also a member of the township board, were also contacted by multiple shelter employees that same night. Ms. Finan, can you tell Kyle to step down, one wrote. Kyle, can you step down? Finan urged Patterson and Murray to fix the errors immediately. Can a plan be made to get staff paid for what is owed to them, she wrote. I am concerned this could be a wage violation, if you fail to pay what you know is owed, not to mention the fact that staff has said they cannot afford to live without what is owed to them. Murray later replied, about 1 a.m. October 22nd, with an update about what she was doing to look for a solution, and added that she had spent the day speaking with staff one-on-one and in pairs. I have suggested to Kyle that he address staff both individually and as a whole in response to an email chain that preceded their email to you, she said. I'm concerned the lack of response has and will continue to impact morale and operations at the shelter. Finding a fix. Knees emailed Patterson with a solution about 11:40 a.m., October 22nd, stating that the city processes the township's payroll before starting on its own. At this point, it cannot be amended, she said. However, in communication with Charlene at the township, once the city's payroll is complete, finance staff will work on processing an additional custom payroll run for the affected township employees. Murray told the News Gazette that she is glad that staff stood up for themselves during this situation. Because of the way that they advocated, we were able to get some things moving, and the city played a great hand in that, just kind of swooping in and helping us out when we needed it most, she said. We have hard jobs here, and we're not trying to make anyone work for free. She added that Strides is, quote, actively looking for solutions to prevent this issue from ever happening again, unquote. This includes working to use the current payroll system more effectively until the shelter can switch to a better platform with less room for error. The extent to which the township relies on the city's finance department previously came under scrutiny at an October 18th council meeting, as Knees fielded questions about the township's budget that Patterson struggled to answer. Finance said at the time that she wanted to cancel the city's contract with the township, as city staff shouldn't be expected to cover for the township. Continuing on the front page, we have the weekend special titled Feeding Them Like Family in Tilton. This article is by Jennifer Bailey in Tilton. When County Market opened 13 years ago in the former Eagle grocery store along Illinois 1 Georgetown Road, assistant manager Scott Connor said the line of customers wound all the way around the building. The village, with a current population of about 2,500, had been without a grocery store for a number of years. Today, there remains a reciprocal appreciation between the customers who are thankful for the convenient grocery store with friendly staff and store employees who welcome customers who feel like family. County Market had been owned by Covington Foods and was taken over by Neiman Foods in 2016. About half of the employees at the Tilton store came from the former County Market store that closed and became a Save-A-Lot in Danville's town center. Other employees came from the County Market on North Vermilion Street in Danville, and a couple came from a store in Attica, Indiana, Connor said. Connor, from Danville, and now living in Catlin, started working at the IGA in Covington, Indiana, when he was 17 years old, as he finished high school. He had worked at the Deluxe restaurant in Danville, but wanted to do something else. He didn't want to cook or wait tables. My mom and dad were in retail all their lives, he said. My dad was a meat cutter, and my mom worked at Town Center. They're like, don't do it. And I was like, I'm going to do it, Connor said with a laugh about pursuing a career at a grocery store. He went to the Catlin IGA, which has also since closed. He helped open the North Vermilion Street County Market in the late 1990s and worked there a couple years. He went to Town Center's County Market and worked there for about 12 years as dairy and frozen manager. When the Tilton store was opening, he interviewed with manager Pat Colton and was given the grocery manager job, overseeing the grocery, dairy, and frozen departments. "Here we are," he said with a laugh. "It's been over 30 years. The Tilton County Market has about 80 to 90 employees. Connor's daily duties revolve around dairy and frozen food items. I make sure that the refrigerated bunkers and stuff are filled. Make sure it's nicely phased," he said. The other half of his day is spent checking on the grocery displays and with customers. "Our customers like to talk," he said. During the interview process, prospective employees, including local high school students, are told that talking with customers is important to customer service. "Customers want to talk about the weather and all of their dogs and their cats," Connor said. "We don't complain. It's part of our job. It's customer service to us. If needed, customers receive assistance in bagging their groceries." The store also works with local school, sports, cheerleading, and other groups a couple Saturdays a month to allow them to bag groceries for donations. The Westville Lions Club sells raffle tickets weekly, and other groups also set up tables, such as Girl Scouts selling cookies. "We try our best," Connor said about supporting the community. The store also helps with food donations to shelters and Danville Township's food pantry. "Having a local grocery store means a lot to residents. We did not know what an impact the store was going to have when we opened," he said. "Until our grand opening, and that line of customers went all the way down the middle of the parking lot, and then it wrapped around. I remember standing in here going, oh my gosh." Connor said customers still tell him they try to shop as much as they can at the store so it never goes away. "Business is good," he said, adding customers constantly tell him they like shopping there because the employees are nice and they joke with customers. The shopping cart area at the front of the store is also its seasonal display area. And Connor said customers know that when the calendar hits August, they'll start putting ingredients for chili out there. During the summer, the display includes charcoal, baked beans, and other cookout items. "They love it when it's the seasonal items," he said, adding that customers let them know when they want to start looking for those items. "We try to stay ahead of seasons." He said this year, customers told him it was too hot outside in August for chili. The Illinois 1 location means the store gets a lot of customers from Indiana. Travelers in town for events like the annual NJCAA basketball tournament at Danville Area Community College and football tailgaters, in addition to local residents. "It's the perfect spot for a store," he said. "We didn't realize it until we opened." He said it's a tight-knit community, and the customers and employees become like family. Connor said customers will quiz him when he's gone, such as for vacation. The store previously was open 24 hours a day, but the COVID-19 pandemic halted that. When they reopened, they started closing at 11 p.m., now, hours are 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. Connor said the earlier closing times initially allowed them to stock back up. "Because of COVID, there are still items that we've lost," he said. Connor said one he just got asked about recently was a turkey roast in a box, quote, "that people our age grew up on. You put it in the oven and that was a meal. It was in a little turkey roast. Ever since COVID, it never came back," unquote. Connor added that they are excited, just like everyone else, about economic development in Tilton, including the addition of Culver's. Mayor Billy Ware, said he regularly shops at County Market and communicates with staff about what's going on in the community. Meat manager Maria Collins of Georgetown, a 33-year County Market employee, said the best parts of her job are her coworkers and the customers. "My regulars, I love them to death," Collins said. "It's almost like you know them outside the store." Continuing inside the front page, we have Top of the Morning, Something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rossow. Brockton's Karen Busby prefers country roads when traveling here and there. But starting last weekend, when a 10-mile stretch of Illinois 49 between U.S. 36 and U.S. 133 was named for her late husband, that changed. From now on, she said, I'm going to take Roger Busby Memorial Highway when I can. Buzz Busby, known as Mr. Edgar County, was celebrated at last Saturday's highway dedication at Brockton's American Legion. That the ceremony took place leading up to Veterans Day in a village he loved was perfect, Karen said. Buzz, who died in 2013, was a U.S. Army veteran who loved Brockton, she said. He loved people, and we wanted to make a difference in this world as a public servant. Buzz, whose humor matched his work ethic, was a community-oriented person who made a big difference, said retired Edgar County Sheriff Deputy Ed Motley, one of several speakers. Motley once told Buzz how much he hated green beans. That's so un-American of you, he told me, Motley said. At Buzz's funeral dinner, Motley paid tribute by eating a green bean. He was a great man, he said. Last Sunday, Karen hopped in her 2017 Chevy Equinox and drove Illinois 49, a route Buzz often took as a deputy sheriff and Illinois Department of Children and Family Services investigator. It was emotional for me because Roger drove that road in all kinds of ways in which he served, she said. That road was very important to him. It was quite an honor. And in history, area history, in 1925, the man who broke into the home of Mary Williams, 81, and attacked her and her daughter was captured at the ITS station by patrolman Ora Heyer. He was arrested for being drunk and later was identified as the assailant of the two women on a tip furnished by Joseph White, proprietor of Doc White's battery service station on North Broadway. In 1975, those willing to brave the early morning cold will be able to view the Leonid meteor shower if the weather cooperates. The shower, expected to occur between 4 a.m. and sunrise, peaking just before sunrise, has in years past brought from a few to as many as 150 meteors per hour into sight. A meteor shower party will be held in the Bevier Hall parking lot beginning at 4 a.m. But to best see the meteors, observers should be away from city lights. In 2010, a new revolving loan fund will soon be available to help nonprofit agencies withstand a 1-2 punch from the weak economy and delayed state payments. The Community Foundation of East Central Illinois, using a $100,000 grant from the Marijan Stevic Foundation, will administer the program-related investment fund with loans of up to $15,000 for agencies facing a cash crunch. In international history, on November 15th, 1864, late in the U.S. Civil War, Union forces led by Major General William Tecumseh Sherman began their march to the sea from Atlanta. The campaign ended with the capture of Savannah, Georgia on December 21. And continuing in our communities, the title is Who Wants to Be a Township Supervisor? Champaign, wanted. One Democrat to serve as the City of Champaign Township Supervisor. The Township Board will vote Tuesday on a resolution to accept the resignation of Supervisor Kyle Patterson and authorize Deputy Supervisor Corinne Jordan to fulfill the role's administrative duties while the post is vacant. Board members will also discuss the process of replacing Patterson. According to a memo from Township Attorney Thomas Yu, the board will have 60 days to appoint a new supervisor, making the deadline January 17. Patterson, who has come under fire for his performance in recent months, cited ongoing health issues when he announced his resignation November 4th. It has become apparent that this job's stress and pressure have had a detrimental impact on my health, he said at the time, and therefore I must leave to be able to take better care of my health. The new supervisor will serve for the remainder of Patterson's unexpired term, you said. Patterson was elected in April to a role he was originally appointed to, meaning that his term ends in May 2029. His successor must be a fellow Democrat, as proven by a record of voting in the party's primary elections, offices held in a party organization, or a record of participation in the party's nomination or election caucus. A registered voter in the township, which has the same boundaries as the city of Champaign. A resident of the township for at least 1 year. Someone who has not been convicted of any infamous crime, bribery, perjury, or other felony. However, while state statutes enact certain requirements for Patterson's replacement, they do not prescribe a process for evaluating candidates, you said. The board previously faced a similar situation in December 2023 when then-supervisor Andrew Qualmstrom was chosen to lead the Champaign Fire Department. At the time, Qualmstrom planned to step into his new role on March 1, 2024, or once the board had found his replacement, whichever came first. The township posted notice of the vacancy on their website and invited qualified applicants to complete an application, you said. The applications were screened to confirm that they met all the minimum qualifications. The board then interviewed the candidates before choosing Patterson in January 2024 from a pool that also included Rita Connerly, a local activist who previously ran against Qualmstrom in 2021, and Gil Terriberry, who was a Strides case manager. Patterson previously served as a case manager for Cunningham Township and chair of the Champaign County Board. You recommended following the same procedure this time around and proposed the following timeline for filling the vacancy. November 19th, send out a release about the vacancy and make the application form available at cctownship.com. December 16th, applications must be submitted to the Champaign City Clerk by 5 p.m. This can be done by either emailing cityclerk@champaignillinois.gov with the subject line, Application for Township Supervisor, or physically delivering an application to the City Building at 102 North Neal Street. January 6, interview qualified candidates at a regular Township Board meeting and hopefully appoint a Township Supervisor. January 13, hold a special Township Board meeting to appoint a supervisor if this was not done at the last session. If the vacancy in office is not filled by appointment within 60 days, then the electors at a special township meeting may select a qualified person to fill the vacancy and serve until the expiration of that term, you wrote. At the meeting, the electors may select the replacement officer by voice vote, and the person receiving the greatest number of votes shall be declared to be elected as the officer. This is by Jana Wersima. Continuing the article about the Strides, which I cut short, untenable problems. Meanwhile, as the payroll problem loomed, several downtown businesses and property owners reached out to city and township officials regarding their own concerns about the shelter. Downtown homeowner Jan Urquhart emailed the group's letter about 7:40 a.m. on October 21, just a few hours before Patterson's message to staff about the payroll situation. The letter stated that the township should allow the shelter to shut down, arguing that its closure is instrumental to the survival of downtown Champaign. Murray previously said in October that Strides had enough funding to stay open through February. The shelter has largely relied on American Rescue Plan Act funds. While the township had hoped to secure permanent funding for the shelter via a property tax increase. A referendum on the matter failed during elections in both November 2024 and April 2025. Downtown stakeholders said that while local officials' commitment to caring for the homeless is commendable, this needs to be done with careful planning, and officials also have a responsibility to preserve the safety of those who live and work downtown. Strides has created untenable problems for the larger community, the group said. The low barrier status of Strides, unfortunately, attracts criminals and drug dealers to our community. We have all experienced break-ins, solicitations, extensive garbage, drug paraphernalia, and drug deals happening on our properties. We are unsafe in our homes and businesses. Other concerns included the shelter's size, its location, housing men and women under the same roof, lack of funding, and a feeling that a proposal to keep the shelter open with a number of changes is not feasible at this point. Additionally, the letter expressed concerns about Patterson's leadership and how other elected officials have handled the situation. We have witnessed understandable frustration from city officials with the management of Strides, but also an unwillingness as council members to act decisively, the group said. However, stakeholders added that they share the township board's appreciation for the work being done by Murray and would like to work with the board to create a plan that will take care of our homeless and provide security for all residents of our town. About 30 people signed off on the letter, including Urquhart and other individuals who have been publicly vocal about their concerns. Daniel Wells of Wells & Wells Construction, Lauren and Jeffrey Brokish of Martinelli's in Central Illinois Bakehouse, Kaylee Luseman of Liando Boxing, downtown property owner Tom Harrington, Andrew Davis of Andy's Towing, Michael Marksteiler of RDI Properties, Kristen McCreekin of Planted. My heart goes out to the people who are in need of a homeless shelter, McCreekin told the News Gazette. However, she's not sure that the current location at 70 East Washington Street, about a quarter mile east of her shop, is the best place for a low barrier facility. She also wondered if the township is the right entity to operate the shelter. One more challenge. Mark Stoller also believes that the facility should be located elsewhere and suggested relocating to an area with lower population density. My office is directly across the street from the nearest liquor store in the shelter. To the shelter, he said, all day long I see a parade back and forth, in addition to aimless loitering. We also have tenant packages stolen. Additionally, we have had several instances where strangers have tried to get beyond the security doors. His business has also had to clear away rubbish on a daily basis. Clothing and human feces are also common, he said. Of course, Strides clients do not wear badges nor name tags. Watching the direction of the general flow of traffic to and from the liquor store, I make an educated guess. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette for November 16th, 2025. Please stay tuned.